Hello. I have a bad news. Want to hear my bad news? We'll have lunch late today. It's 11:50, and I've prepared a very, very spiritual sermon, which is about 2 hours. So we'll have a very lunch today. As the academic dean, I would like to cancel all classes this afternoon to make way for my sermon. I'm just kidding. It's never going to happen. Never. Okay, we have a very good theme today. By the way, before I begin, I'd like all the faculty members to please stand. All the faculty members, please stand. I don't have time to introduce each one, but these are the awesome... Is there anybody else? Okay. Okay, these are the faculty members. They are there at the back. So if you see them around, Dr. Kathy, please stand, okay? Anybody else? Okay, so these are the faculty members who are here at the chapel service today. If you see them around, give them a high five. Yes? All right, thank you very much, faculty. We have a very beautiful theme this year, Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. But because Dr. Bruce already preached from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, last Tuesday, I have to find another passage, otherwise... I've already preached on that passage, but the sermon I've already preached at Tai Tai First Church, and many of you go there, so I feel like maybe not the best way to recycle this sermon. This is the problem when you... Anyway, so more work. Anyway, so the Lord led me to a passage that actually I studied a bit to help a friend, and that is 1 Peter 1:13. It was read to us this morning, but I'm going to read it again. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed that is coming. Let us pray. Father, we bless your name today and we consecrate to you our time together. May your word speak to us. May we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Peter 1:13 is a transition passage. It's not one of the best passages of 1 Peter, because we have 1 Peter 1:16, which says, "Be holy, for I am holy." I could have focused on that. But actually, this verse is just a transition verse. The word therefore, as you see there, the word therefore is a transition word. So the question is, what is verse 13 transitioning from and towards? 1 Peter 1:3-12 talks about spiritual blessings, the blessings that believers receive from God when they are saved. And so, this is not working. There's a demon in here. Okay, there it is. The blessings, hope, mercy, an inheritance, salvation. We suffer, Peter says, but that is because God wants to test our faith and he wants us to grow. And then verse 9 says, we have salvation of our souls. So these are the blessings, the indicatives, the things that God does for us. And then in verse 13, we have that, therefore, okay, we have received all these beautiful gifts of God, therefore, blah, 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 blah. Right? Now, again, verse 13 is a sandwich, is in between points. The imperatives, next slide please, are this. From verse 14, it talks about proper relationship with culture, which is holiness, proper relationship with the Father, which is reverence, fear, submission, proper relationship to the Word and to one another, love, and then proper relationship to Jesus Christ, the Rock. These are the major themes. So now you have 4 sermons. A sermon series from 1 Peter. There you are. You can do that for your church. So verse 13. Let's go back to verse 13. Next slide. Verse 13 is the transition between the indicatives and the imperatives. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. that is coming. Let me step back a bit and tell you this. First Peter, one of the major concerns of First Peter is the second coming of Christ. Now, he was a bit worried that because there are many false teachers around, that the believers would be corrupted and that they would fall from their secure position. But also, First Peter was concerned because there was a lot of suffering for the Christians. And so he was afraid that they would be put down and be discouraged and, you know, fall from their faith because of the sufferings that they experience. And so Peter goes on to say, this verse, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ returns. Three things that I want to focus on from this verse. And I'm going to go fast because I don't want you to hate me. I know that you love your lunch more than you love me. Sober and alert. What does it mean for us to be sober and alert? When we start something, we have a vision, right? We have a vision of something that we want to do. For example, students, you come here with a vision. I'm gonna get that master's degree. I'm going to be a master, right? Master of Divinity or whatever. I'm going to get that degree. When faculty come here, we have a vision. I'm going to train and equip students. Right, the staff, I'm gonna go here and support the mission of the church, etc., etc. We have a vision. Unfortunately, no matter how clear the vision might be that God has given us, we can easily be distracted. Right? For example, you wake up, I don't know, 9 a.m. maybe because your first class is 8, so you wake up at 7:30. Okay, just brush your teeth. Don't change. Go to your room. Anyway, I don't have a class in the morning, so you can do that. So when you wake up, your vision is to go to class and learn. Yeah? You come to class, and you do this. Ta-da! Raise your hand if you have done this. You know, I don't trust students with their laptops. I'm very suspicious. And sometimes I go around just to, aha! You know, no student, okay? I believe with all my heart that no student enters the classroom and say, I don't want to learn today. We all enter the classroom and say, you know what? I want to learn today. But Facebook and, I don't know, Twitter. I don't know what you guys are doing these days. Mobile Legends. maybe not, okay? But we can easily be distracted, so easily distracted. So Peter is saying, be alert and sober. Because many things, we have a vision. We want to be saved. We want to meet Jesus Christ. But you know what? We can be distracted, and then we lose our way. We lose everything. When we are distracted, it's very hard for us to concentrate and to really accomplish what we are meant to do. Once I watched a TV show on an experiment on being alert. So one guy got drunk, he's still drunk, has a hangover, and then another guy stayed all night. And then they asked the two guys to drive just to check the reaction and the alertness of the two people. And they found out that both of them failed miserably because their alertness is very, very poor. And this is what it means to be alert. We have a vision. We have something that we need to do. But our reactions to the circumstances of life might be very poor because we're not alert. Let me talk about being sober. The opposite of being sober is being drunk. So basically, seminarians, I'm preaching to you, do not get drunk. Okay? This is an alcohol-free community. Meaning, if you go to the mini store, you'll get a free beer. Alcohol-free community. Do not get drunk, okay? Be sober. Anybody who have been drunk before? Honestly, people don't judge. Just raise your hand if you have been drunk before. I see those hands, honest hands. God bless your heart for your honesty. I've been drunk. Okay? There was a year when I backslided. I grew up as a church in the Church of the Nazarene from age 6. When I was 20 years old, I backslided. And I got really drunk. I experienced lying down on the floor. And mud can be the best waterbed. When you're drunk, you don't care. And this is what happens when you're drunk. Your inhibitions are very low. Things that are not funny become funny. Like, I don't even like the vegetable ampalaya. But when I was drunk, I remember stealing ampalaya. It's terrible. When you're drunk, you're not sober. Basically, you cannot make good decisions. You cannot even control your body. I mean, even if you want to walk straight, you cannot. Even if you want to think straight, you cannot. Even if you want to respond to your circumstances in an appropriate way, a ball is coming to your face and you say, you cannot react properly. And this is what Peter is saying, be alert and sober, because we live in a world of many, many things, sufferings. And actually, Peter's prescription is this, and Peter's assessment of the world is this. The world is going to get worse and worse. The world is going to get worse and worse. Next slide. Threats of nuclear war, environmental rape, drugs, so many diseases with very, very little cure. These are what's happening in the world. Peter was right. The world seems to be turning worse and worse. What do we do then? Well, Peter says, be alert and fully sober, but set your hope on Jesus Christ. Hope. Set your hope on something that is beyond you. You know Bon Jovi, right? I want to lay you down in the bed of roses. Right? Well, and as he said, but tonight, I'm going to lay in a bed of nails. Life is not a bed of flowers. Life is not a bed of roses. Sometimes beds of nails. And this is what Peter is saying. We are laying in a bed of nails, but have hope. Sometimes we go through life with a lot of suffering. And in fact, this is what Peter is saying, 1 Peter chapter 3. Next slide. Suffering will always come. Suffering will always be there. Suffering will be a part of life. And even if Jesus in the boat, even if Jesus is in the boat, the disciples face storms. There is no guarantee that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, storms will elude us like we have like a talisman or something like that. No, it does not happen that way. And sometimes hope is the only thing that keeps people going in the midst of life. Let me tell you a bit about myself. I grew up as a very, very poor man. There are 8 of us in the family, and we shared one egg for viand. You know when your mom cooks, fries the egg, and it's so thin, it's so big, because it's so thin, you can see the bottom of the plate. Like, it's so transparent. And my mother has to cut those eggs into 8 equal shares. You know, I envied my cousins and my classmates when I was growing up, especially when I was elementary. They would have new bags, new shoes. When they were growing up, I had nothing. In fact, during graduation every year, I would receive an award at the school because I was I had some honors. Everything that I wore is borrowed. So I could, celebrities, when they thank people because of their dress, say, thank you Gucci for my dress. Thank you Prada for my socks. I can go up the stage and say, thank you very much for my cousin who lent me these clothes for my cousin this, for my pants, for my cousin this, for my shoes. Because everything was Lent. That was how poor we were. Every night I would pray to God, Lord, give me an academic award after at the end of the year, so that at least people will take notice of me, because I'm a very unremarkable man. Look at my looks. There's nothing remarkable about it. My height is, you know. So there's nothing about me that's good enough. And we were very poor, etc., etc. When I was young, I worried a lot about many things, like would I go to college, or would I even get married? Seriously, I was an advanced thinker. I was worrying, would I even get married? Maybe if I get married, I'll be married to one of my neighbors around. And there would be not much of expectations, etc. I worried a lot. But I had dreams. I had dreams. I had hope. I have been a believer since I can remember. And my mother instilled in me hope. And as the firstborn child, your parents are also hoping for you to succeed because you are in charge of your other siblings. So there was a lot of expectations. I had hope. When I went to college, I needed to work so that I can study. At PNC, I served as a night guard, looking for the campus at night, and then studying in the morning. I cleaned sewers and septic tanks. Yes. Because PNC was very poor, they cannot hire people to clean septic tanks, so we would go down there, seriously, with dirt and stuff, up here with pail, and I would not go home even for Christmas or for summer because I would stay on campus working, and I got paid, my first year, 8 pesos per hour, 56 pesos. Per day. And then it became 10 pesos, which we were very, very happy. Right? When I went to APNTS, my first work was to wash dishes at the dining hall. Yeah, that was my work. When I went to England, again, to support my studies, I had to clean. I cleaned chapel, I cleaned our dorm. That was my work when I went to England. I have been always very poor. And there could be no other reason that I stayed on if there was no hope in my heart. I could have been hopeless. I could have just abandoned my life to fate that I am just a poor man. I'm just a poor boy, though my story is seldom told. I'm just a poor boy. This is me when I was, that's hope. I should have clicked that a while ago. This is me when I was in high school. Yep, that me. This is me now. Look at the change, man. And that is, no, I'm just kidding, okay? And that is because I had hope. So if you have hope, I'm just making you happy while you're hungry. Hope is very, very important. Hope can keep us going. In the midst of despair or seemingly unhappy circumstances, it can keep us going. But the next point, the next words of Peter is very interesting. He said, set your hope on the grace. So after Peter talks about, be vigilant, have a hope. But he goes on to say, yes, you can do those things, but at the end of the day, you cannot rely on yourselves. You can only rely on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have hope as big as a mountain. But if your hope is in yourself, nothing is going to happen. Peter says, have a hope. But your hope is not in your own ability, in your own strength, in your own staggering good looks, in your own whatever, wealth, wisdom. No. Set your hope on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we even consider ourselves as worthy of attaining something, just because we are handsome or good-looking or smart or whatever, we are missing the point. We are absolutely missing the point. Next slide. Peter shifts our attention away from what we do as humans to what God does for us. At the end of the day, it's all about God shaping, molding, and guiding us. It doesn't matter if we come from a poor background. It doesn't matter if, you know, we come from a very, you know, ungodly family or whatever. When God's favor is lavished upon His people, things happen. Things beyond our comprehension, things beyond what we can even imagine happen. I don't know if your journey is like this. Maybe your journey as a believer is like walking in a field of flowers. Or maybe your journey is like that guy there, walking on parched ground. Have you ever tried that? Walking in darkness and parched ground and everything is dying around you? Like Lex Luthor or something? Whatever you are and wherever you are, maybe you are here in this flowery field, or maybe you are there. But the promise of God is this: my grace is sufficient for you. In the midst of sufferings, and they will always come. The midst of pain, and they will always come. There is grace for the journey. I like that song that we sang today. It's a new song, the second song to me, but I like it. There's hope. And we establish, we ground whatever we are in Christ. Again, I have experienced God's grace. I have experienced the hope. Students, new students in particular, you have a vision when you came here. And the vision is to finish. There will be many trials. There will be many challenges. And one of the major challenges are your professors. With all the assignments and the paperwork and the and whatever, financial challenges, all those challenges, relationship challenges, dorm challenges, climate challenges, whatever challenges there will be. But if we set our hope on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go through life much, much easier. I would like to ask our WMC friends, we will be singing a song, it's called Cornerstone. Jesus Christ is, of course, our cornerstone. Not on ourselves again, not on anything else, but only on Christ. We have a vision. We have a destination. It might be the second coming, the coming of Jesus Christ. It can be graduation or whatever. But whatever we are going through today, remember this. Be alert. Be sober. But most importantly, set your hope not on your own self, but on the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.